You know, well, let me just say this. At KPFT, you can look around and know what communities are underrepresented.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they always know. They've known for years, and they haven't done anything about it. We have to do a different kind of outreach. Like, at KPFT, we need to come out of the building. You know, most of our outreach is done by saying, you know, call us for fund drive and pledge. We're not, you know, we do some things out in the community, but not in the communities that are underserved.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, our thought processing needs to be different. And I see that across the network, that we need to change how we do things. We keep doing, you know, like they say, the same old stuff, expecting different results. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I personally am just at the point where I'm tired of banging my head on the concrete. And, you know, we talk about it. There is no overall strategic mission plan for Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
Individual stations may have a mission plan, or they've started a strategic plan. Nobody has, like, overall strategic plan for Pacifica. And one of the things that the PNB needs to do is do that. You know, it's very hard to move forward when you're doing it, you know, hit and miss.
Mm-hmm.
No major corporation, nonprofit or for-profit, can be successful without a game plan. And we don't really have an overall game plan. We keep talking about doing one, but we haven't done it. And I know some of it is because we're constantly putting out other fires. But one of the reasons we have so many fires is that we don't really have a strategic plan in place that we actively work towards and that galvanizes the entire network. And we really, really need to figure out how to get that done. Because we can do these things. We can sit in these committees and talk about, you know, what the needs are. We know what the needs are. We know that overall we're missing it. If we weren't missing it, we would have greater paid membership. So we really have to do something different. And I love this committee. I think that we're, you know, on the right track in terms of what our focus is. But it's just a piece of the entire puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
And this piece can't work if the other pieces are not coming together well. You know, I've sat in meetings at my station and talked about, you know, the communities that we should try to address. We don't have anything in place to do it, and we're not doing it. Which is why when I walk into a board meeting, I am sometimes the only person of color there out of 24 people. And for me, that's unacceptable. Our committee of inclusion is made up of predominantly white folks, period. That's the only way I know to say it. How inclusive is that? So what do you, you know, how do you get people to understand you got to do something different?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things, and believe me, Evelyn, I hear your well-stated concerns and have felt them myself and that kind of thing. And one of the purposes for this call and for wanting to meet with the COI, because I think sometimes the thing that happens, Pacifica, we all know we're very top-heavy with motions. Oh, we'll create this and do this and do that and do that. But in terms of the details and the implementation tools to gather this information, a lot of times that's one of the pieces that is missing. And not to take away from anything that you're saying about having a a strategic plan in place, that definitely needs to happen. But I think in terms of what I'm hoping that we can begin to do on this call, because one of the things that it goes back to in terms of the bylaws, it says that the COI has to make quarterly reports to the board and to the LSBs on the status of diversity, et cetera, et cetera. But when we find out ways, because with each station, it's a little different scenarios that we're facing, but if we can come up with concrete ways to say, okay, we want to do a needs assessment of the community. I mean, we might have some pockets of people that present an issue that we don't even realize that they present that needs to be addressed, but we can come out with the tools that we can give the COIs and the various stations that this is what you can do to get this information, and then we can make stronger recommendations and stronger reports based on, okay, well, here's what we're showing right here. We have this community over here of Latino people or Asian people or indigenous people. We need to make sure that we're putting things in those publications, that we're maybe holding forums in that area of town and going over there and doing that, because we can show right here that something is going on. Like I said, just based on the applications that we got for the programming committee, when we did ask this information, I was like, whoa. I was thinking we were going to get a wide spectrum of people, you know, a very diverse application pool, and we didn't really get that at all. So that's an area that's something that needs to be examined. But that's one of the reasons for developing these kind of tools. But if we had not asked those questions on the programming committee to at least try to get that, I would not have had I would not have been aware of that piece of this puzzle, that something is going on there. That only some people applied and other communities did not. So,
this is Ray. Can I say something about that?
Sure.
I agree with everything I heard, including the frustration, although I think there's a role of the PNB really to set up those greater lines, as Doc said, and then see that they get implemented. The committees, this committee of inclusion aim is narrower and more modest than that. And if we do it well, then we can provide the PNB and the local board with better tools to understand what's going on, and then tell the programming and so on to that reality. So what we have started doing is to look at census, meaning looking at different census for New York City. One of them will be COVID census based on who are the people who voted in the last election. Now we know when we do that, there are groups that are completely not included. For example, the government says census, regular census, forget about the election, the census, that to find out who is there, we know that many people of color ignore that census. We know that immigrants are notoriously, you know, famous for not doing it because they're afraid that this could be used against them. So therefore, once we get those official thing, then we look at organizations. But again, I'm sorry to use New York examples. So in New York, we would look at places like the Schomburg Library. We would, let's say, in the Haitian community, you could talk to the Haitian Information Center, which looks at already what is the community is about. So you look at different organizations. In Northern Manhattan, there's a huge development of Irish has been the English community is really booming because of huge immigration for the last 15 years. So you look at the different groups in terms of ethnic and racial distribution, you know, where are they? So I guess maybe before you do that, you would have to see the definition of the listening area to see how far it goes, so you know who you are included. So once you know how far it goes, then you try to find out all the communities that are part of it. Meaning, not community, I mean geographic communities. I mean, New York City, the five different boroughs, Newark, well, different communities in New Jersey, Washington County, Long Island, and so on. And then within those, you look at, again, as I was saying, in terms of ethnic and racial, you look at it in terms of age distribution, people with disability, people who are immigrants. I mean, we had included people who were. Insofar as if somebody decided to, we have the section reserved for people in jail. We have the section reserved for Native American. So once you do all that, I know, for example, that at KPFT, was in the then chair of the committee, and Ngozi Kamau had sent me a document that I can look for. Which included a lot of that. Now, I know she was getting a PhD, so she was really very versed in research. So it has that kind of a tone. If I remember, it had like 45 pages, and we don't necessarily have to develop it to that level. But to me, that's what it is. So I even though I agree with Doc that we know, quote unquote, which communities that are represented, but if you want to do something that people cannot poke fingers at, you have to lay out some statistics that can be backed up, you know, by fairly decent research that say, okay, this is the extent of where a signal covers. All these are all the geographical communities that we cover, and these are the different groups that are in all those areas, and these are the different characteristics. We know women are about 51% in general, so if we say that, we could assume, I'm not saying we should not check, we could assume to be pretty close. You know, how many disabled people do we have, and whatever other characteristics we can find. So what I'm going to do maybe, I'm going to look for the sample questionnaire that we had in New York for people to apply to join the committee. Because this is a weird committee. The committee is made up of 3 LSV members and one PNB member. That's by the bylaws said it. And then these people sit together and decide the characteristic of the committee, meaning which group they want to include and how many people they want to include. So once they do that, they send up a documentation, you know, they send an appeal to the community to different means, in writing, to the air, to say this is what you're supposed to have, the committee has met, and please come join us, you know, fill up a form and tell us who you are if you want to. And these are the areas that we would like to know if we fit. And again, it's voluntary. And as far as I know, in the 3 times that we tried in New York, nobody who applied refused to say who they were. So I didn't want to speak that long, but this is just all the ways I can see we can start doing it. So once we have the raw data, we can, doesn't mean that we're smart people. As Doc says, we know because we're in the community, we know. Besides whatever the data tells us, we know those people are. So we can use a combination of that, those data and what we know from experience, and so that we can bring all that stuff to a living document.
Right. One of the things that I would just like to add to this, I'm going to maybe propose, just throw out like some organizations or some other people out there that also work on like monitoring the various signal areas and things of that nature, and these might be organizations that we might be able to also work with sometimes if we are trying to get an assessment of what people are listening to. For example, I remember when I was talking with somebody that with the local chapter of the National Association of Hispanic Journalists in New York City, and we had a conversation completely unrelated to WBAI, but I was on the board of WBAI, and I mentioned one of the programs, and I thought for the most part, oh great, you know, because it was a Latino programming and Spanish language speaking and all that, and not that the Latino community is a homogenous community, but I don't even mean to imply that. But it was very interesting, the comments that she was telling me, and she had done a lot of work in terms of New York City and the Latino population and broadcasting and representation. And I mean, the question that was coming, that she was asking, was very informative and a constant reminder of, wow, gosh, we always have to make sure we have people right there on the ground that come from these various areas that can give their perspective about things that are going on. Because I was like, wow, and the thing that she was saying, she goes, we want to make sure it's not just West Coast and that there's a whole population of people who are of a Latino background that are not Spanish speaking, something like that, she said, but it was really fascinating. So I'm just going to maybe throw out that one of the things that we could just look at that we could give as guidelines to people throughout the various COIs or various organizations that work with, you know, some of the same issues that we do, especially various populations. Like I know you have the National Association of Black Journalists, which I know they have local chapters. You have the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. And I have to say, I read a report, the person's name just went right out of my head, a dynamic report about what's going on in terms of representation and people of color, just in terms of broadcasting, but very informative. And I know they probably have local chapters that also are doing research in terms of the demographics of the local areas that we could probably borrow from. You probably have, I think there might be something, I know there are organizations that work with the media and Asians, I forget what they're called, but we should maybe just begin to develop a list of various organizations out there that are like that, that maybe, you know, could help us in our research with these issues. So I'll just say in the Census Bureau, which I just throw that out there, but I know that their information is not very reliable, but, you know, that might be something. We could develop that list, the National Association of Black Journalists, the National Association of Hispanic Journalists. I think that's what their name is. And I know they're, you know, you have Asian organizations, and so maybe that's one of the things that we need to find these kind of organizations and how we can utilize their research and even work with them to a certain extent that are doing a lot of local work on the ground in terms of needs assessments and the media. It's 10:16 right now, Eastern Standard Time. I would like to throw out there before we conclude this call, because it's definite that this was not a conversation which things were concluded, rather more things were raised, and I think that's really great, and I really appreciate people from the COI who took the time to participate. But maybe we could develop a task force from this call of people who would just take some time to research some of the things that we mentioned and maybe just come up with some sample questionnaires and surveys and stuff like that we can, you know, present to try to move things forward, in addition to a list of various organizations that are out there that can help with audience research.
That sounds good. One group we haven't mentioned is women. I mean,
women.
To do it is to, as the organization themselves, one of the best ways to get the community activated. I mean, besides whatever limitation we might have within the stations themselves, you know, resistance, mm-hmm. people's lack of awareness of the need for those things and so on, to find those groups within the communities telling us the best way to outreach their own members and so on, and be part of that process. Now, I'm not saying too much longer. I'd like to be part of what you're talking about. As I said, some of it is easy for me because we've done some of that work already, and I'd be glad to share it with everybody. Right. There's just one caveat, because the reason I want to hang up is because I'm starting negotiation with an agency tomorrow, and I've done only one-third of the proposal so far. So I'm going to be working until 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, finishing. So can't continue anymore. So I just want to give a caveat. I know that when we evaluate in terms of who's listening and where, that one of the groups that we're looking at is the Arbitron. As some of you may know, at least in New York City, I don't know if you know that, maybe Kathy knows that in New York City, the Attorney General is suing Arbitron.
Right.
For so-called misrepresented its flawed rating system as a valid and fair representation of New York's diverse radio market lawsuit. I mean, radio market, sorry. The lawsuit seeks to end dishonest business practices and deliver restitution to minority broadcasters. So let me just summarize quickly, if you allow me, what the suit says. The suit says that the Arbitron deceived broadcasters, advertisers, and shareholders, and the public by, one, misrepresenting that PPM, you know, the PPM, the national
people meters,
the portable people meter that we have heard recently from the national program director. He said that the Attorney General says that the Arbitron misrepresented that PPM is valid, fair, and representative of the diversity of the New York radio market. Two, that they failing to disclose in selling ratings based from PPM that the services had serious methodological flaws. Three, creating the false impression that PPM is generally accredited by the Media Rating Council when it was denied accreditation in New York for that. Misrepresenting that PPM methodology in New York meets the MRC, which is the Media Rating Council, a minimum standard for commercial use when it does not. And last, misrepresenting that it strictly adheres to MRC's voluntary code of conduct while failing to adhere to imported code preferences. So I just want to let people know that this is the problem that this particular system is having in New York.
Exactly. And that's why, just to add to what you just said, it's very important to not just rely on any one source of data, especially if they're, you know, the government or, you know, with some of these things.
Or government-controlled.
Exactly. That, and that pretend that, oh, my gosh, like Nielsen and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's not, we're not talking about relying on any one source of data, but utilizing the various things that are out there. And also, even in terms of doing our research outside of even any of these organizations, because we have to find a way to gauge and to really get out there and find out what is going on with WBAI listeners. And hopefully, if we can develop some structure with this and begin to develop some strong tools, that means that going forward, the COI and, you know, other aspects of this organization can hit the ground running, at least on this aspect of things. And so, do I have any more takers for who would like to participate in this task force? I promise it will not be very meeting heavy. I promise you that. I mean, sorry, Kathy, you said you would?
Yeah, I'm interested in participating. Sure.
Okay, so me, Cassie, Lisa, Ray, do I have anybody else from any of the other signal areas?
Yes, this is New York heavy.
Yeah, it's real New York heavy, but that's all right by me.
Well, if we keep it open, then maybe people who are on the call can still join.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's a good idea.
Right. We can keep it open, but we can at least begin the process and, of course, put it forward and all that kind of stuff. But, again, I want to thank everybody so much. I know you're so busy, especially the directors, and I know that that last year was hard, but I know that this year it's even more difficult. It ain't that pretty, but I do have the ultimate belief that we can make it better.
We will come
definitely
to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We will make it through to the other side. Yes. Well, the other side is guaranteed that we'll get to the other side. The other side, like the other side of life. That's a caveat. That's the one thing. We don't got to worry about messing that up. Dying is the one thing we will all do perfectly well. That's for sure.
Oh, God.
That's all
we're going to do. Everybody's going to come and get it.
Right. Right, that's all taken care of for us. That's the one thing in life we don't have to worry about. But anyway, with that, I will say good night to everybody, and I wish you, you know, good time with your families, however you choose to spend Thursday. I choose to spend it in addition to that, but remembering the truth and, you know, celebrating the honor of the indigenous people. But anyway, thank you so much again. I appreciate it.
Thank you,
Ryan. Good night, Lisa.
Okay.
Good
night. Thank you, Pacifica Land.
Right. Thank you,
Pacifica Land. And support.
All right.
Good night,
good
everybody.
Good night.
To turn off the music, press 1.